Richard, thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
New York State is set to draw new maps that will determine legislative districts in the state for the Assembly, the Senate, for Congress. People may have heard the word redistricting in the past, and it sounds very important, but I wonder if you could just give us the basics. What does this all mean?
Each voter, when you're voting for your representative in the state assembly, state senate, or member of Congress, votes in a district. When the votes are counted, it's the votes in that district that are counted, and whichever candidate gets the most votes is elected to the position. The problem we have is that people move. Districts don't stay the same, and each district is supposed to have the same number of voters. Every 10 years, the federal government has a census. It determines the number of people who live and where they live throughout the country. After the census, each state is required to change the districts in order to reflect the number of voters living in that district based upon the recent census.
What is New York charged with right now, and when do they need to do it?
We will be getting the census figures from the federal government shortly, within a few months. New York then has to take that census and the number of people in that census, and they have to engage in what is called redistricting, that is redrawing the lines. The new lines will first be applied in the 2022 elections.
Why is redistricting so important? What are the implications of the way that we draw the lines, and why aren't they sort of just like equidistant? X number of people form a district, and you can draw the lines pretty clearly around the state in even measure.
Well, there are several issues there. One is redistricting has historically been done by the state legislature. It's no secret. One of the objectives of the state legislature is to enhance the role of the party that didn't majority. So, for instance, if Democrats are in control of the legislature, as they are now, historically, they have used redistricting to try to maximize the number of Democrats who are going to be in the legislature and in Congress. This, by the way, is called gerrymandering, and it goes back to an act of Eldridge Gerry, the governor of Massachusetts, in 1812. So this is not new. The problem is, when the objective is a political objective, it doesn't basically provide for the most effective representation of the electorate. I can give you an example. In the city of Albany, New York State owns a very large percentage of the property in Albany, more so in terms of percentage than in any other city in the state. And as a result, Albany has trouble getting real property taxes since the state does not pay taxes. Every year in the budget, City of Albany goes to the legislature and basically argues for special funds for that city because of the state's owning all this property. And that's always an important issue for the city. Now, if the city of Albany is represented by one official, then that official will advocate for that because that's central to the interests of that official's constituents. If you divide the city of Albany up into three or four districts and attach it to all the suburban districts around Albany, then the people of the city of Albany will not have the effective advocate in the legislature. And so this makes a big difference in terms of making sure that the voters are well represented in the legislature and in Congress.
I want to go back to that term gerrymandering. I think people might have heard this in their civics classes or in their history classes, but can you explain the origins of the term gerrymandering?
In 1812, Eldridge Gerry was the governor of Massachusetts. They had a redistrict. The districts were overwhelmingly in support of his party. He signed the bill, and one of the newspapers that was critical of what he did said that one of the districts looked like a salamander. So you put the two words together and you have gerrymander, and it continues to be a very common name.
That's why you look at a map of legislative districts and sometimes you see inexplicably shaped districts. So one person is representing a far north part of the state and also a far south part of the state and a very squiggly line in between. That's the result that we sometimes get.
We certainly do. I don't want to say it's not unusual, but it certainly happens where legislators in drawing the districts, in essence, have two parts to the district and they'll sort of connect them by a highway.
Does it also explain why in a neighborhood, for example, you could have one house on one side of the street represented by one senator and the other side of the street represented by another senator?
You certainly can. It happens, and it's done intentionally. When the legislature redistricts, carrying out its political objectives used to be somewhat difficult. With the advent of computers, it is now very simple. You can move houses around from one district to another. You can move blocks from one district to another. And each move you make, the computer will tell you what it does politically.
So you can actually, if you're on a redistricting commission or if you're one of these decision makers, you could move one block of registered Republicans to one district to boost that district's number of Republicans, or one block of Democrats to another district to boost that number of Democrats. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And it is actually done.
Well, I guess I'm stating the obvious, but that certainly doesn't seem fair. It makes me think that our state legislature doesn't really represent New Yorkers. It represents some kind of configuration of what the parties wanted New York to look like.
That is true. However, we are starting a new process this year, never been tried before, where at least the initial maps will be drawn by an independent bipartisan commission. There was a 2014 amendment to the Constitution creating an independent redistricting commission. And at least the initial maps will be drawn by this commission rather than the legislature. And in the Constitution, it says that the commission shall not draw maps to favor an incumbent, a candidate, or a political party. This is an attempt to try to avoid gerrymandering in New York State. However, I should note that after the commission draws its map, it goes to the legislature, and there's a process. In the end, if the legislature does not accept the commission maps, the legislature gets to draw the line.
How do you get impartial commission members?
It's a 10-member commission. Each leader of the legislature, the majority leader and the minority leader in each house, appoints two members. Fundamentally, got four Democratic appointments and four Republican appointments. The eight members appointed then appoint the two final members of the commission, and those members may not be enrolled in either the Democratic or Republican Party. They have to be registered voters, but they may be independents. They may be people who belong to one of the minor parties. So fundamentally, you have 10 commissioners, and you expect to have four Democrats, four Republicans, and two from neither of those two parties.
The New York State League of Women Voters has called for this commission to draw what they're calling people-powered fair maps. What does that mean?
It means instead of taking the interests of the politicians, the political parties, you look at the interests of the people.
So you mentioned that New York's commission is the first of its kind.
There are various attempts around the country by reform groups to try to limit or eliminate gerrymandering. And in New York, we have created this commission that I described. There is no other state in the nation that has a similar commission. We are entering into sort of a new experiment in New York. At this point in time, I don't think anyone knows how this is going to work.
Well, you're an expert. What's your prediction?
The idea is that if the commission really issues fair maps that represent the interests of the voters instead of the interests of the politicians, there will be enormous pressure on the legislature to approve that map. And whether the legislature would be able to resist that pressure from the public and reject the map so that it in the end, it can adopt the political map is hard to tell. from the perspective of the League of Women Voters, assuming the commission does its job, we would very much like to have extensive pressure on the members of the legislature to adopt the map submitted by the commission.
To that end, the League of Women Voters of New York State is holding a people's hearing on the New York State redistricting process on Thursday, April 29th at 6:30 p.m. What should people expect and how can they get involved?
This is going to be an opportunity for the people to speak. Members of the legislature and members of the redistricting commission are going to be invited to listen. Any member of the public can submit written testimony. Go to the website of the State League of Women Voters, which is lwvny.org. There they will get the instructions as to how to go about submitting written testimony.
This is part of the reason why the census count in 2020 was just so darn important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, you may recall President Trump was trying to get immigrants excluded from the census. If they're excluded, all of the undocumented immigrants who work and live in New York State would not be counted in the redistricting process. Thankfully, the Supreme Court said that he could not do that.
And thankfully, volunteers and folks who worked for the census did a tremendous job trying to persuade people to be counted.
Oh, yes. There was a big campaign for people to be counted. One of the problems this year was that ordinarily for people who weren't counted, census takers would actually go up and ring their bell and knock on their doors in person to get them counted. Obviously, you couldn't do that this year. So taking the census even became more difficult than usual.
Well, I imagine that people who are watchers of this process are waiting with great anticipation to see the outcome of the census and then to see how the maps are drawn.
Well, that's right. The next step is the outcome of the census. And as you said, that's exceedingly important. And then we're off to drawing the maps. And by the way, the commission is required by the Constitution to hold 12 public hearings. So there will also be an opportunity to testify before the commission once we see what they've done.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for spending this time with me explaining what I think to many is a very complicated issue.
I'm pleased to have had the opportunity to do it.